Do you ever feel stuck, like you're living your life on autopilot? Are you ready to shift into high gear and reach the success you so richly deserve? Welcome to the Play Big Movement podcast. I am your host, Sharon Lecter, entrepreneur, business strategist, and best-selling author. Playing big is not about settling for good enough or being comfortable. It is about reaching your highest potential and achieving your greatest success. Join me in my Play Big movement as I interview top experts in business, money, and entrepreneurship, all ready to serve you and to help you play big, be number one in your field, live your legacy, and create maximum impact. Welcome, everybody, to this segment of the Play Big Movement podcast with Sharon Lecter. And I am delighted to meet somebody new today and for you to meet him as well. David Gersdorf is an icon in the cruise industry. Lots of experience in the C-suite. He's an innovative entrepreneur, he calls himself. He's written a book called Hard Ships. And certainly with everything that's been happening, his experience and depth of experience and the incredible companies he's been with, the cruise industry has certainly been impacted greatly in the last few years. And so I'm really anxious to hear more. David, thank you so much for making time to be with us today.
It's just a great honor to be here. You have an audience that's committed to plan big in their life and in their businesses and in their contributions. What a pleasure for me to be a small part of it.
We're delighted. You formed your own group called Global Voyages Group, which helps owners, boards, CEOs, leadership teams of diverse companies and organizations as well. So we're out here to serve and to support other people. But indeed. David, before we actually get into the cruise industry and the last few years of craziness in your books, I like to have people, you know, we see you now, the accomplishment, the incredible background and being an author and forming this group. But let's start with little David. Where did you start growing up? What was it? What did you think about you were going to do? What got you on this pathway?
Excellent question. So for some context, Hard Ships is actually my playbook for mm-hmm. others for dealing with disruption. And I like to say I was born into disruption. I was born to very young parents and quickly became in a single parent household, raised by my father, which was unusual in those times. My sister and I, a very young man, a AAA type entrepreneur, had a work ethic that wouldn't stop, a creative mind and drive that was unstoppable. And I was born in the frontier of Alaska before statehood in the city of Fairbanks, where my father had gone working on the building of the Alaska Highway and worked his way into the airline industry, a little airline you might now know called Alaska Airlines.
Yes,
he became well. Worked his way from baggage room up to number two executive in that company. I lived that life as a child of a single parent who was so productive. I was raised in many respects by surrogates, other family members, friends, babysat behind the ticket counters at the airlines, spent my weekends in the hangars while dad worked, strolling around looking at big airplanes. coming up through that kind of creative life experience, lots of changes, having to adapt all the time, having to find who I was, my place, overcome fears and uncertainties at a young age, and deal with a lot of things that were outside of my control. I think crafted me in a certain way to play the role I've played in business and as a colleague and friend and mentor to others. And as a good family person, because I was committed after the life I had as a child that my kids would have experienced something more stable than that. And,
sure.
Eventually my dad remarried. I was in my teens, and he left the airline and started a business, a tourism business in Alaska, And that was my start in the tourism industry. It was all hands on deck. My dad, my stepmother, my sister and I, and we built quite a large enterprise, including a cruise line that took people on small ships to extraordinary places and experiences all over the world. We developed tourism to the Arctic regions of Alaska, out to the amazingly wild Aleutian Chain. We owned and operated the National Park Concession at Glacier Bay, very famous national park, for many, many years, and dealt with the dreams and aspirations of travelers looking for experiences and discoveries. You know, that was my beginnings. And we sold that business when I was about 30 years old. And that propelled me into the global cruise and travel business, where I've played a meaningful role in helping to build that big industry and help several iconic companies grow.
That's fantastic. I just love that story. And so, I mean, you found a home with that depth of experience. I love Alaska, but to be able to go onto the global playground and in the world of cruising, I think that's fantastic. You worked with many of the large companies in that cruise world. So talk a little bit about, you know, the ups and downs in the cruise industry, and certainly the last few years. So what drove you to actually say, I have something to contribute, I want to share that through this protocol that you created and in the book that you wrote, Hard Ships? So,
thank you. Well, from the outside, the cruise industry looks quite romantic and fun. Beautiful, gorgeous ships, colorful destinations, dream exotic, you know, experiences. And it is all of that and more. It's why it's one of the most popular, most satisfying vacation experiences on Earth. But it's also one of the most difficult operating environments of all types of businesses. We operate on, you know, all waterways, seven continents, all time zones, 24/7 to perfection in remote smart cities of various sizes. The operational, the care of guests and crew members and communities that you know, we touch worldwide. It's an amazing industry. It's capital intensive. It's operationally intense, and it needs things. It needs fair weather for things to go well. And I mean, the financial markets, health, regulatory, wars and peace, all of those things impact the cruise industry, not only operationally, but in terms of consumer demand. You know, people will put off non-essential spending and travel when they're uncertain about, you know, the environment. So we've learned as an industry through numerous disruptions. Of course, COVID is the biggest of all so far, but how to adjust, how to adapt, how to be agile, how to respond, and keep going and keep growing. Even to the midst of this terrible event of COVID and the literal pause of nearly a year and a half of cruise lines worldwide, in 2022, 22 new ships, $12 billion in investment in new ships alone, 45,000 new beds on those ships, representing 2 million passengers annually a year, new capacity. That is all coming into the market in 22. You would never imagine that.
Yeah. I saw that a couple of weeks ago. I saw that stat and I was like shocked, because yes. I would have thought the major lines would like tighten their belts and said, let's get through this storm. But, you know, sometimes when you're in the middle of a storm is when you start rebuild to come out of it. So I'm sure a lot of that is what you teach. You talk about, you know, when you're in the middle of crisis and disruption, that's really when opportunities, and you have the opportunity to create the future. So share a little bit about share in your book.
And, you know, I have 40 years, four decades of dealing with disruption personally in the cruise business as a leader, as a parent, you know. So that's why I wrote the book, to speak to the issues of disruption in your business, your career, and your life. Because when we're disrupted, it's rarely that we're disrupted in one of those. most disruptions, especially sizable ones, impact across the board. And we're dealing with multiple, you know, I call it bail, steer, repair, repeat. We're stand and float here, you know, while we find our bearings. So a couple of key thoughts. One lesson for me about disruption, no matter the severity, there is always opportunity that accompanies it. Now you have to look for that opportunity, and it's hard to look for opportunity when you're in shock, when you're frightened, when you're,
paralyzed by the fear. Yep.
You are, you know, so, but part of becoming unparalyzed is realizing that there is always, you're going to get through it. There's another side to disruption always. And secondly, there are new opportunities, compelling opportunities on the other side. And the fact is that the sooner you can raise up your eyes, look around that corner and discern what those might be and grab a hold of that future, the sooner the future will help pull you through to that better place and time.
I want to highlight something you just said, because I tell people when you're fearful or you're paralyzed, you're looking down, right?
Yes.
And when you can find that, turn that fear into faith, and you start opening your eyes, like what you just said, opening your eyes, you see, you get the blinders off and you start seeing those opportunities and you can seize them. And you're so right. I mean, Napoleon Hill said, out of every adversity comes a seed of an equal or greater benefit. Sometimes you immediately recognize it. Sometimes it takes years. And sometimes you're still seeking what the benefit is, but it's, you know, the life experience. And I always tell people, we are where we are today because of what we've been through, the choices we've made, the things that have happened to us. And so whether they were good or bad, you've survived it. And right now you can help other people just like you are, David. You went through this, you helped steer the ships, pun intended. And now you are making an effort to help other people going through similar things to improve their lives. So,
well, thank you. You reach a point where, you've worked in the boardroom, you've created the products, you've built, you've led, and you start asking the question, at this stage of my career, this stage of my life, how else can I contribute? How more can I contribute? And you learn that you have so much, and that it's a matter of sharing it and codifying it. It's not easy to codify what you know, to really, and many people, I think, should listen to me when I say this. You have more value and more experience and more expertise and more to contribute than you could possibly imagine. And it's only when you take a moment to mine that gold and bring it to the surface so that you can share it with others. But my gosh, what it does for you as well, in terms of your confidence, your sense of worth, and opening up new avenues of connection and contribution and innovation. It's really an amazing thing. Take time to take stock every once in a while and appreciate yourself.
Such an important message, because people, we've been trained so much to compare ourselves to other people. And when you stand in your own power and you realize that you are uniquely you and you have a gift, and what you just shared is so important. We tend to criticize ourselves and we should be standing in our own power. So David, when somebody wants to know more about you or wants to find you, how can they reach you?
A couple of different ways. DavidGiersdorf.com, just DavidGiersdorf.com. There's several ways then to engage with me there, including learning more about the book, my articles, and the way in which I engage with companies to help them. Secondly, I'm on LinkedIn. I contribute a lot on LinkedIn. And if any of your listeners are on LinkedIn, they can find me easily on LinkedIn, David Giersdorf. My company, globalvoyagesgroup.com. But really, unless you're a corporate player in the cruise and travel industry, I doubt that you have much interest in going there, but David Giersdorf, the person, go there. And if there's any way I can help you, feel free. I really believe, I always have, in karma. I've always made myself available throughout my career to others. and in the belief that that would come back to me in times when I needed it. And that's Fantastic. Always been the case, and many fold. So
wonderful. And I appreciate you're going to actually hang in there, and we're going to do a little bit additional interview for the Play Big Movement group. So those of you watching and listening, if you're not part of the private Facebook group, the Play Big Movement, please reach out to us and let us welcome you. But don't forget to check out David's book, Hardships, Navigating Your Company, Career, and Life Through the Fog of Disruption. And certainly this world has been in a fog and probably still is. So check it out and join us on the other side in the Play Big Movement with Sharon Lecter on the private Facebook group. And David, thank you so much. I appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Thank all of you for watching and listening to this segment. Until next time, you're fabulous. Have a great day. Thank you for listening to this segment of the Play Big Movement podcast. Please subscribe to iTunes and leave us a review, as well as join us in other areas of social media, Twitter, Instagram, and LinkedIn at Sharon Lecter, and for Facebook, author Sharon Lecter. Thank you so much and have a fabulous day.